It's a world dying without Christ. I know we can do more. I know we can go more. I pray, Lord, that You'd work in our hearts this morning. And Father, burden us. Lay upon our hearts our responsibilities. Father, there's men here who could go if they would surrender. And Father, there are families here who go calling more regularly than what they do. There are so many that have never heard once. God, help us as a church to do more than ever before and do it while we have time, realizing that the Lord is coming back. And there's so many souls that are in the balance. Father, move us today. Bless with thy presence and thy power. And Father, we pray not only for the saved, but the unsaved to obey the commandment that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And I pray, Father, that they would come to Christ, trusting Him and Him alone for salvation. Now, Lord, we cannot do what needs to be done these next few minutes. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The text opens up, and this is a great portion. We usually go to Matthew 28 for the Great Commission. Mark 16 tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. It was preached the other night by Brother Fryman in John 20, verse 21. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Acts 1, 8, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. So we see what we call the Great Commission. Now, our Lord again fills in some things for us here in verse 44, the Bible says in the latter part, he says that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Again, the importance as we approach the Word of God, that God would open up our understanding, that God would help us to comprehend the message He has for us, the personal application of God's Word. And we find here that our Lord again opens and wants them to understand some things. Turn with me, if you would, back to Mark 16. Mark 16, a cross-reference, again to the Great Commission. And notice verse 14. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Of course, there was that understanding that they were questioning. Well, is that true? Did he really rise again? And we're not sure. And then we know that he appears in the midst of them in the book of John 20. And he says, peace be unto thee. The thought here is this. He rebuked them. He upbraided them. In a very nice way, he told them off because of their unbelief. Now, beloved, that's one thing that we can't afford to have. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we must live every day by faith. We must live our lives by faith. We ought to think by faith. We ought to act in faith. Amen? Our lives, the just, the Bible says, shall live by faith. And so we find here that our Lord upbraids them because of their unbelief. Now, their unbelief was their foolishness not to believe the words of Jesus. He promised them that He was going to rise again. And it was as if they had forgotten what the Lord had taught them concerning the death, burial, and resurrection. And then we find where we see the hardness of their heart. Now, that's something you and I have got to be careful with. Hardness of our heart. And in the interesting unbelief, hardness of their heart. See, the importance of keeping our hearts tender right before God. And let me tell you things, I want you to listen to me now. Things that can harden your heart. Watching too much of the news can harden your heart. Because you get tied up in believing the philosophy of the world. Now, what's the philosophy of the world? Oh, we're gonna blow ourselves up. No, we're not. We're not blowing ourselves up. The Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen. Amen? Doesn't mean their bombs won't go off or even a nuclear bomb. But it doesn't mean that it won't happen, but we're not going to blow ourselves up. That's not how the world ends. But see, you buy into it. Another thing is, and I know I mention it regularly, I do for the sake of preparation. But buying into that, oh, we're going to be destroyed and so on. God's going to take care of us, beloved. That is a promise from God's Word. Here's what He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not only that, He's not going to leave us, He's not going to forsake us. Now, things may change, but as long as we have Jesus, amen? That's the main thing. And so it's you can harden your heart just watching the news, watching wrong movies. Can harden your heart. Playing video games that are violent can harden your heart, can put you in a different sphere. Thinking that that's life and blocking out the Spirit of God working in your life, the truth, the reality. It can harden your heart. Can give you false philosophies. Music can do that. But look, there's beautiful music in the world. I mean, that's a fact. I'm not talking about rock and roll. I'm talking about beautiful music. But you can get wrapped up in beautiful music that it's on your mind all the time where you're not thinking about the Lord. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God. You're not setting your affection on things above. You're setting it on your affection on music, on romantic music. See, that can harden your heart. So we need to be careful what we expose our heart to, because we can wind up having a hard heart. And we find here that the hardness of heart is, again, refusal to believe the truth. Now, belief is a decision of the heart. Oh, he preaches, it's not that simple. Or then make it difficult for me. It is that simple. It's a decision of the heart. It's like that old song, I've decided to follow Jesus. What did you do? I decided. There was a decision that I made in my soul, a decision I made in my heart to follow Jesus. I want to tell you, the night I got saved, I didn't have it all worked out. I was not a theologian. I didn't understand the Bible. I understood a few things. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was headed for hell. And I knew that Christ was my only hope. Amen? I wasn't trusting a church. I wasn't trusting some kind of a rite or sacrament or ordinance. I was trusting Jesus and Jesus alone, who's known as the Savior of the world. And I trusted Him and He saved my soul. I made a decision at night. I wanted to follow Jesus. Amen. And that's what the Bible tells us. It's a decision of the heart. To be in unbelief is a conscious decision not to believe. It's a conscious decision not to believe. In Mark 16, notice verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had not and had been seen of her, believed not. Look, she came back and said, I saw Jesus. And they said, we don't believe her. I don't believe that. I remember years ago talking to a person attending our church, and they said that when I preached, they would sit there and argue with me in their heart. I thought, what a foolish thing to do. Why would you argue with the Word of God? And that's what they did. They made a decision. They heard the Word of God. They knew what Jesus said. And when she testified what God had done, she said, I don't believe that. They said, we don't believe that. They made a conscious decision not to believe. Notice Luke chapter 8, if you would. Luke chapter 8. And verse 12, please. Luke 8 and verse 12. And the Bible says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Luke chapter 14, please. Luke 14. So here the Bible speaks about the wayside hearer. They hear the word, they hear the truth, but they allow the devil to distract them. And he snatches that seed from them so they don't believe. That's why when you leave here, you should not, if you're lost, you should not cause yourself to be sidetracked in thought. Well, preacher, if I didn't, I'd be miserable all afternoon. Amen. Good. May that cause you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get distracted. Don't turn on worldly music. Don't go play a video game. Don't drown yourself in a baseball game or some movie. You ought to go home and think on these things. It's good. It's healthy. It's right. You don't want to drown out the voice of God. Notice, if you would, in Luke chapter 14, and pick up verse 16, please. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. First said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have an excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excuse. Another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So we find all these excuses not to believe, not to trust, not to receive salvation. Excuses, and that's all they were. Notice, if you would, chapter 16 and verse 31, please. Chapter 16, verse 31. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Again, if they don't believe the word of God, there's no hope for them. There's no hope. You're not going to find God, beloved, in the woods. I mean, you may know, as you go to chapter 22, you may know that that there's a God by creation. But you know, you're not going to know God because of creation. Moses and the prophets. The word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Not hearing the wind blowing the leaves. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now we can know because of creation there is a God. But you're not going to know God apart from the word of God. You've got to know it. And you've sat down to preach. You've heard messages. You need to make a decision in your heart. A conscious decision. I'm turning to God from my idols. With the idea of serving the living and true God. Book of Luke 22 and verse 67. The Bible says, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said to them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. In other words, God knew the hearts of men. And they refused. They refused to believe. Notice Luke 24 and verse 6. Again, the Bible says in 24 and 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now notice what he says here. Bible says that he spake with you, saying the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. And they heard, and notice what it says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed not. It was a conscious decision. Say, I don't believe that. That's not for me. I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to believe upon that. So we find here in Romans 14, 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The importance of making a conscious decision to be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they all might be damned. Who? Who believe not the truth. They didn't make a conscious decision to follow Jesus, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, unrighteousness is not being an out-and-out Satanist. Unrighteousness, you can be the most devout person in the sense of being religious and be lost. Amen. And be unrighteous. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What does God call unbelief? Evil. So if you're not a believer in Christ, if you're not saved, you are practicing evil. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 12:25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, the Bible says, if they escape not, return him refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. See, this is evil. This is evil. Not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to believe His word is evil. Oh, I believe His word. No, you don't. You have not acted. You have not received this. Because you're in unbelief. You've chosen not to come to Christ the Bible way. The Bible way is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. So we see the rebuke of unbelief. Second of all, the review. Notice verse 44 to 46 of Luke 24. And the Bible tells us, you know, we'll just drop down to verse 45. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. He said unto them, thus is written, and thus it behooved Christ. Behooved means that it's necessary. That it was necessary or behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So we see the review, and it was a life of what Jesus did. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Now, notice the emphasis again, what was written in the Old Testament, verse 44. He said in the last part, which was written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Notice verse 46, where he speaks here about the gospel. And he mentions here that as thus is written, thus be who Christ has suffered to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The importance of believing God's Word. You've got to read it. You've got to receive it. You've got to remember it. You've got to review it. The importance of reminding ourselves. What did Paul say after he wrote about the rapture of the saints in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The importance of reviewing. Remember in the Old Testament, many times Israel gathers a nation. What would they do? They would review. Stephen did in Acts chapter 7. He reviewed as he preached the word to the Jews. He reviewed what God had done in the Old Testament and then brought it to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's good to remember. It's good to review the word of God. Do it with your children. Line upon line, precept upon precept. When you're sitting down, when you're standing up, Deuteronomy chapter 6, remember and review it with them over and over and over again. Look for opportunities to speak to them about Jesus. Tell them your testimony. Tell them what Jesus did in the Gospels. Tell them how He saved others. Tell them the good news of salvation. And teach them about repentance. Teach them about faith. Teach them about the Gospel of Jesus Christ. How important it is to do that. Amen? Now notice the command to witness in verse 47. The Bible says here in that repentance, remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, beloved, this is not an option, but rather a command from God. And we're given exact commands on what we're to say. Tell them the story of Jesus. Don't let your message be a conservative message. Let your message be a gospel message. Amen. Tell them about what Jesus did, how He died for them, and how He rose again, and how He's coming back. And tell them about what Jesus did for you personally. How many times we hear the Savior say that to a convert, go back home and tell them the good things God has done for you. When people say, I don't know what to say. You've been saved? Yes. Tell them how you got saved. Tell them what took place, how to say it, what to say, and to whom we're to say it. So we find here the command to proclaim. And one of the great failures within the Great Commission is the lack of giving the gospel to lost sinners. Luke 24:47, God says, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, we're not to go to Jerusalem and begin there. That's where the New Testament church was started. And Jesus telling them who were saved, the 120 we find in Acts chapter 1, He said, start here in Jerusalem. Tell everyone. Let everyone know what Jesus has done. And then go throughout Judea. Make sure you go to Samaria, the people you have prejudices against. And then go tell the rest of the world. Tell the Gentile world. how Jesus came and died for them and paid for their sins and rose again from the dead. You see, this is our commission. Our commission is go and seek and call and visit and look for. And I must needs go. We find in the book of Acts where the Spirit of God led Philip to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. And how important it is to understand that Philip had a sensitivity. There were great things going on in Samaria. There were people who were saved, who were getting right. There were people who were getting saved. And Philip was smack dab in the middle of it. He was seeing the fruit of the labor there, of his preaching. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God prompts his heart. And says, I want you to go to Gaza, to the desert. There's someone I want you to talk to and tell them the good news. See, beloved, as much as there was rejoicing there, and it's good to rejoice, we ought to rejoice when someone comes to Christ. May I say, our work is not done when one believes, because there's always another one. The Bible tells us about the Son of God. He went from town to town to town. God's doing something in my heart this summer. We've got to go to town to town to town. We've got to get the message out. We've got to go door to door. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do yet. I'm praying. I trust you'll pray with me that God will lead us what to do and not to waste our summer, but be proactive, realizing it's one less summer before the Lord returns. How important it is to understand that as much as it's great to rejoice, there's someone else that needs to be saved. We find with the first church in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily in the temple, house to house. In other words, we have got to be soul conscious. We've got to be looking for opportunities to tell people about Christ. And that brings me to this point. If you're saved, you'll be involved with personal evangelism. I don't want you to raise hands. When people get saved, in the Scriptures, we find them instantly involved in bringing others to Jesus. Bringing others to Jesus is this, beloved. Seeing them come to repentance and faith, seeing them baptized, and seeing them become faithful disciples, continuing in the Word. And I'm telling you today that all of us who are saved ought to be involved with it. You say, well, that's we preach, you ought to be doing that. I'll do my part. I'll sit and help them. They're struggling to understand something. I'll share the Bible with them. I'll do my part. But everyone ought to be doing their part. You ought to lead someone to Christ. And I'm not talking to have them pray and then go stray. I'm talking about have them get saved and then follow through. And here's where you start. You start with your own family. Then you go to your neighbor. Then you go to strangers. I'm telling you, if every member of this church would do it, we would have to rearrange our auditorium. And we ought to. We ought to. We ought to fill this place up. But we have got to be soul conscious. Beloved, we're in the 11th hour. Well, now, again, maybe another 5, 10, 15 years before Jesus returns. But we're in the season. We don't have time to dilly-dally. There ought to be an urgency about us that Christ is coming back, that there are souls to be saved. Never forget the story I heard one time. True story, I verified it. A young man was sitting in a revival meeting, had been saved, a young convert, and a message on evangelism was preached. And that night, he had come forward brokenhearted over his lost loved ones. He told the preacher, he said, preacher, I'm going back to Michigan. He said, that's where my loved ones are. He said, I'm going to talk to them about Christ. And he got in the car that night and drove from the Midwest, I think it was Kansas, all the way to Michigan. Got there at some time early morning and sat down with his family and urgently told him. And within that short period of time he was there, there were those who came to Christ and were saved. Not everyone was saved, but there were some that were saved. And they continued, as saved people do. But see, that's the urgency we ought to have. The night is upon us, beloved. The time is coming where we're not going to be able to work. While it is light, Jesus said, work, labor. Well, preach, I've prayed, I've witnessed. Well, then ask God what else you can do. And if they're not receiving, move on to someone else. But we don't have time. We don't have time. Our time is about over. And people are lost. It's like Jeremiah said, that the harvest is past and we're not saved. And I say to you who sit here week after week, week in, week out, service after service, you have got to make a decision in your heart to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come repentance. Jesus saves, and we have got to tell others about it. Yes, I've told others, but not. There are other people out there who would be saved if you'd go to them. That's why it's important to be tender to the Spirit of God and be led as Philip was led and to be guided, and everyone ought to win one to Jesus Christ. If man would repent, there would be remission of sins, pardon from sins, freedom from sins, deliverance from sins. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we see the command to proclaim, and then the command to all people. Verse 47, the Bible says all nations. Now, how in the world can we reach all nations when we don't even, witness every day? We'll just stop and do a little math real quickly. How many people do you witness to per week? When I say witness, I'm even saying passing a tract. How many? Let's just say you do that every day or an average of what you do on a weekly basis. And times that for the rest of your days if you live to 70. How many people would have the gospel? We have got to increase our consciousness of the souls around us and their need for Jesus. I'm telling you, a lot of the reasons people don't witness is just downright rotten, devilish pride. I don't want to be rejected. It's not about you. It's not about you. And that's a devilish excuse. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. And that lost, blind, unregenerate soul. And that's what it's about. Well, I don't want to be rejected. You know, how selfish. How thoughtless, how self-centered for people to live. Well, I don't want to be rejected. Well, you don't want to be Christ-like. That's what you're saying. Rejected, Isaiah 53. Rejected of men. That's what the Bible says. If you're going to be involved with God's work, they're going to reject you, but it's not about you. And it's a privilege to suffer for His name. You need to get that on right. Stop living about you. How you look and what it's about you being the center. It's not about us. We're to be empty vessels that can be filled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God to speak to others about Jesus. When's the last time you went out to go door knocking? You purposely sought someone out to witness to. As simple as placing an invite on a door with leaving that little bag behind of gospel literature. See, the Bible says all nations. The last time you gave your testimony, you passed out a tract, you told someone how you were saved. See, our Lord said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white or ready to harvest. David cried out in Psalm, no man cared for my soul. There ought not be a person in our area here, in our ministering area, that could say that about this church. But they will if we don't go out and tell them we care about them. And that we love them. And that God loves them. And God wants them to be saved. David cried out in the Psalms again, no man cared for my soul. What a terrible thing to have to say that no one cares about me. God does. Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. The Church of God ought to care. So look at them. They're derelicts. Amen. And you'd been the same way if the gospel had not reached you. Well, for the grace of God, who knows where I would be? I don't even want to think about where I'd be. But I'll tell you this much, I wouldn't be right. I'd be deep in sin. How many times we miss opportunities. People around us. People that could be saved and would be saved. If we just take a moment of our time and speak to them about their soul. How many people pray for laborers? Do you pray for laborers? Do you pray for men to go to the gospel ministry? Do you pray for laborers for Long Island, New York City, America, throughout the world? Have you interceded for a nation, a country, a state, a city, a culture? You have not because you ask not. Let me tell you something what's lacking today. And I speak this about the white culture, if we could say it that way. I speak about blacks, Hispanics, the Chinese, the Asian culture. But I don't even know. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying there isn't. I believe there are. But I don't even know a Chinese missionary. Japanese. Korean. I know Brother Gede is doing a great work in the Asian Rim. And he's doing a work of getting out the gospel message, helping, training pastors. I know there's some missionaries in Thailand and that region. But not enough. Not enough. How it's necessary to have some men reach the black culture. Talking about a culture that's been stripped and taken advantage of. What a shame. Hispanic, the white culture. We've got the likes of Osteen and the rest of that ilk. Liars. Not preaching the gospel. There ought to be some men that we need to pray and intercede. God, raise up men. Help us to reach men that might go forth. That's why New York City is such an important area. We've got to get in there, beloved. We've got to get in there. Jesus commanded us to go to all nations. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The command to witness, second of all, the command to work, verse 49, the Bible says, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power and on high. Now notice the association with world evangelism and prayer. Now look, it's easy in one sense. Let's just go, 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 go. But that's not what God called us to do. He said here in verse 49, he said, and behold, I send you a promise of my Father upon you. What did he say in Acts 1:8? He said, ye shall receive power. Let's just stop here. Do you have God's power in your life? Then I would suggest to you, tarry and pray. Tarry and pray until you'd be endued with power from on high. I've read many testimonies of men who sought God's power. They fasted and prayed, and then they knew God's power was upon them. He said, tarry ye in the city. So we see the prospect of prayer. Tarry means to abide, to continue, to wait on God in prayer. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In John 15, the famous portion of scripture about abiding in Christ, to tarry, to continue, to wait. God tells us, gives us many prayer promises about the importance of waiting. Notice Luke chapter 18, please. Luke 18 and verse 1. And the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Ephesians 3:20. Listen to this great verse. Now unto him that is able. Speaking about the Lord. Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh. Here's how God says it. In us. God can do the impossible if we would tarry. If we continue, we wait in prayer. See the prospect in prayer, the power. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Amen. We have a supernatural Savior. We have a supernatural who had a supernatural birth. We have a supernatural Bible given supernaturally and preserved supernaturally. We have a supernatural gospel which produces supernatural results. Our warfare is supernatural. We have supernatural weapons. The whole armor of God. The church was supernatural in its origin. The church was supernaturally designed, supernaturally ordered, and it supernaturally operated. I remember years ago, a man came to me and said, "Well, how does this really operate here? I mean, how do you really do it?" Beloved, I'm telling you, there's nothing up my sleeve in my coat jacket. I can only contribute to God and His church and His work and His power. It's not of us. It's not of us. The work of God is not carried out supernaturally. It would be superficial. The Lord's church has a work which must be supernatural. And the only way we're going to do it is through prayer. It's going, yes. But notice the order. Prayer. Power. Propagation. We're to propagate the gospel, prayer, power. See, lost being converted is not going to happen unless people pray and intercede. Labors are not going to go forth unless we do it by prayer. Strongholds of the devil are broken down by prayer. Countries and cultures are to be won through prayer. Consider the provision of power. The Bible says in John 14:13, whatever you ask, you receive all things. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever you ask, we receive of Him if we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. God says, whatever you will, in everything. Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying and supplicating. One man said that there were 1,522 separate if clauses in the Bible. They basically state, if I will do this for you, if you will do this. See, that's what we need today. We need to take advantage of the opportunities that God has offered to us. May I say this, beloved? We will be held accountable. Be held accountable by those attempts to do what God said He would do if we would do our part. The third thing we see, and we'll close, is the continual worship. We saw the command to witness, the command to work, the continual worship. Verse 50, the Bible says, and He led them out as far as the Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while He blessed them, He parted from them and carried it up into heaven, and they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now He had gone unto heaven, there they stayed worshipped, and they continually in the temple praising and blessing God. There's really so much here, but let me say a few things, we'll close. Christ's blessing. This was, or had been given to the disciples many times, but Jesus blessed. He blessed them with His presence. He blessed them with power. He blessed them with spiritual things. The fruit of salvation. The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of holiness. Our Lord entered the world blessing man. His ministry was going about doing good. And in Acts 3:26, then in Luke 24, our Lord blessed His church. All good gifts come from above. And God still is blessing His church. And that's why we need to ask God, when we say bless us, let's be specific. What blessings do you want? One thing we've prayed here consistently over the years, God, we want You in our service. We want the Lord, His presence here. Bless us with that. We want to understand Your word. We want You to speak to our hearts. Bless us. Give us understanding. Open up our understanding that we can comprehend Thy word and make personal application to it. God bless us with souls. Be specific with God in asking for his blessings. And then we find the church worship. We find here their worship. They were loving God for who he is, what he had done. They worshiped him. They adored him. They praised him. They thanked him. They loved him. They had gratitude towards God. In verse 52, the Bible says he returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It was spiritual joy. You know what he had here Friday night? The joy of the Lord. People are happy in the Lord. People are happy. When you think, beloved, I'm not minimizing what the service, but I want to tell you, it was the spiritual side that was great. It was a 15-minute message. I asked Brother Fryman to come up here. He kneels here and men from the sections come and they lay hands on, they pray. All the sections, then I pray. And then we closed out the service. But see, the reason people are happy is because it was done according to the Word and the Lord's presence was here. And that's what we want. See, when we're grumbling and complaining, it's because the Lord's presence is not there like it could be. It should be. Not that he's forsaken us. He's with us. But we've allowed sin or issues or complaints to rule and dominate our speech. The Bible says he returned to Jerusalem with great joy, spiritual joy, joy of the Lord, the joy of knowing and walking with the Lord. Their focus was on things above. Then we see their witness in verse 53. They continually in the temple praising and blessing God. See, this is a great witness. Our lives praising and blessing the Lord. And may I say as we close this morning. Do you know how people sell product? It's really a simple thing. It has to do with the senses. Eyes, ears, taste, touch, the feeling. And then people get excited about it. They think that, or they act like this is the greatest thing going. Look what it's done for my life. You know? You don't have to see people when they're advertising a vacuum on TV. They're happy. Oh, I can do this all day. Oh, I can thank. Whoa, right behind the back. I mean, they get two. They get excited about it. People with weight loss. You know, Herbalife. This thing. Oh, look what it did for me. And they're excited about it. Let me tell you, beloved. That's fine. And there are products that do work. But if anyone ought to be excited, I'm not talking about fleshly. I'm talking about spiritually. The real deal. It ought to be God's people. Praising and blessing. Praising and thanksgiving. That ought to be seen. That ought to emulate from our lives. The joy of the Lord. Happiness. Praise to our God. See, that's half the battle in witnessing. They've got something that I don't have. What is it? It's the Lord. And that's what I want to tell you about. We have a great responsibility, beloved. And this could be our last year. We might not even make it through the year. So that's why what we do financially, what we do spiritually, what we do physically, we've got to do quickly. Because Jesus is coming back and there's a world that needs him. Maybe you start integrating into your life, praying for power every day. Maybe you start fasting and praying and tarrying till you know the power of God's on you. Maybe you'd integrate into your family's life about praying for different countries, that God would open up a country to the gospel. God would send men. God would empower the men that are there with the gospel. Let's stand on our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. I trust you respond as God spoke to your heart. If you're not saved, you're